I'd like you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. I'm going to use verses 17 through 21 as sort of a launching base for this message. There are some principles here that ministers in this land today had better start applying if they know what's good for them, as well as responsible Christian people. We read in verse 17, "Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall surely die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sins, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself." Hopefully you glean the principles there that you have a responsibility when you see harm coming and you have the Spirit of God sensing a red light in your soul that there is danger ahead for the righteous or for the wicked if they stay on their course, and you do not warn them, then you'll be held responsible yourself. In verse 21, we see that the righteous man should be warned that he is not to sin. In this message, which I have decided to entitle, unless I come up with a better title, "Warning, Beware of Government Vaccination Programs," in this message, I warn the righteous not to sin in regards to their children in this area. I'm going to be doing that in this message, but I also have a responsibility, I sense, to warn the wicked in Washington, D.C. that are promoting what is right now known as the Comprehensive Child Immunization Act of 1993. And I shall warn them. It's my intentions at this point to send a letter to every congressman in Washington, D.C., letting him know that the blood of the children that will be shed in one way or another, and all the harm that is done to them in one way or another because of government vaccinations, will be upon the shoulders of those who sign in favor of such a bill. Now somebody has to do it. In the most recent newsletter we sent out, we did try to give a plan of action for our people to try to stop this. At least write your congressman. I know, you say, what good does it do? Well, you've got to at least try. But in the message to follow this one, I shall give you even further action to take if they are forcing us into the position that our forefathers were forced into there at the River Nile when they were told you either cast your baby into the river or else. And it's no different today. And someone must do the warning, and God willing, maybe this message will warn. It's a warning. Admittedly, it's just a voice in the wilderness warning, but nevertheless, it's a warning. I'm at least doing what I can. We have been told in Scripture that if we forget His law, He would what? Forget our children. Hosea 4:6. And I'm beginning to sense the reality of that when I look into what is on the horizon with Ahab and Jezebel Clinton's intentions for your children. The next message, I think I'll show how it ties in perfectly with Canaanite Baal sacrifice of little children. But the first thing I've got to do, because I'm talking on the subject of vaccination, is address the hazards of vaccinations. Now, someone's probably at this point in time, particularly those that might hear the message somewhere along the line that have been indoctrinated by the system today, are probably asking, well, what's your qualifications, preacher? You're no medical doctor. You're no scientist. Well, let me say this. My qualifications are every bit as good as Senator Ted Kennedy or Senator Metzenbaum. And I'll bet you I spent more hours playing with Petri dishes and staring into microscopes than they have. And I am not the one that is trying to force off poison onto your children, but these people are. And so I guess I'm just as qualified as those people who are intent upon having every child in America vaccinated. And then, oh, Ahab Clinton says we've got to stop serving the special interest groups. Do you think that there are some special groups very interested in getting your children vaccinated? Yes, indeed. You know, I'm every bit as qualified as Senator Ted Kennedy as far as the concern for the safety of young people. I didn't have some young girl by the name of what was her name? Joanne Kopechnik? Was that her name? Remember her? Mary Jo Kopechnik, wasn't it? Something like that. She didn't drown in the backseat of my car. And I don't go taking young girls out like that. So I'm not so sure Ted Kennedy is the man that you want to have looking out after the best interests of your little children. He has shown what he does with other people's daughters. You say, well, what is your qualification, preacher? Well, I don't claim to have any great qualification, but, you know, one thing I do try to do because of my occupation is think. It doesn't hurt. And when you have a sermon that comes due quite frequently and you have radio broadcasts every night plus your weekly broadcasts plus special speaking engagements, you do a lot of thinking and you do a lot of observation of people and you learn to develop what I call a homiletical mind. You learn to see illustrations. You learn to start thinking down the road of what the next message is and what are the needs of the people, and you learn to be observant. And you reflect back in your life. Now, I have observed over a period of time the effects of vaccination. My beginning observations began with my own son. I remember as a little boy, my wife taking him down for his shots. He was about, I think, a little over a year old at the time. And I remember that he'd been fairly healthy up until that time. And I remember that right after the shots, he got sick. And I also noticed there was a drop in the constitution of that child for quite a lengthy period of time as far as is catching things and that type of thing. And it happened after the vaccination. I honestly made that observation on my own clear back in those days. Since that time, I've observed other people's sons. Mr. Isaacson, member of this congregation, you've seen his sons. Do they look healthy? He's very proud of the fact that he never got them vaccinated. Not that my son isn't healthy, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, as I've noticed, people's sons remain healthy if they don't get vaccinated. You see the point? In further observations, I begin to notice that other people have had accidents with, or supposed accidents with vaccinations. A chiropractor right in this town told me about their little boy, how healthy he was, and how they would take him trick-or-treating on Halloween. It was shortly after that time they had him vaccinated, and how it brought on mental retardation. I know a friend of mine that had friends that had a little child, and he died of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, that's what it's called. He went over to visit them the day after he heard about the little boy dying, and the father came out and grabbed him and was and hugged him and was crying and sobbing. He said, Lee, he was such a healthy little boy. Everything was just perfect. In fact, yesterday we just took him down to the doctor for his vaccinations and he got a perfect checkup. It never occurred to them that he died the day after the vaccinations. The swine flu caper. I didn't tell people not to take it. I didn't tell people to take it. That time I was quite a bit younger and even less studied into the conspiratorial aspects of our enemies then as I am now. But I know there was no way I was going to have my family take that vaccination. I remember my wife's grandmother had hardly been sick a day in her life. She was retired. She took the vaccination. And within a few months, she was dead. And that happened all across America. And these lying whore reporters never reported it. It was a tremendous death loss with the elderly after that swine flu vaccination. You know why they call it the swine flu vaccination? Because it was originally, I understand, made for swine. But the pig farmers refused to use it because too many of their pigs died from it, so the pharmaceutical company had to do something with it. So they gave it to the goyim cattle. Now, that's been observation. I'm just talking about my qualifications. But I've also did some reasoning along the line. Doesn't hurt in my job to do a little reasoning, thinking. One thought that comes to me is, just how much does the federal government care for little children in Waco, Texas? Yeah, think about it. And how much do they care about little children in the aborticide mills in our land today, as they even subsidize the sacrifice of those children? How much did our government care about children in Vietnam, Korea, World War II? As far as God's word is concerned, you're still a child when you're under 20 years of age, and those were children at 18 taken into the draft. Did they care about them? When they wouldn't let them win the war? When they laid rules upon them that jeopardized their lives, and when they left them behind to be POWs in not only Vietnam, Korea, but also now it's come out in World War II, many of them died as POWs. And you don't think your federal government knew about that? And now I wonder, as the federal government wants to pass out condoms and sex education and teach six-year-olds the alternate lifestyle while they refuse to have the Ten Commandments on the walls of the school buildings. You know, just a little bit of reasoning might tell you, Christians, that that government is not the government you want inoculating your children with you don't know what. Amen? Here's a rule of thumb. Just a rule of thumb. Yours for the taking. But should Pharaoh, Caesar, Nebuchadnezzar, or Uncle Sam knock on your door and say, "Hi, I'm with the government and I'm here to help you," you had better close and slam that as fast as you can. And then you'd better latch it. And then you'd better make additional preparations in case they plan on breaking it down. And those additional preparations I shall address in another message. Because it's not going to be surprising if our little letters to the congressman are not effective in stopping it. At least we try. Let's look at the bills themselves. Now, I don't have the House bill, but I have the Senate bill. And if you're on our newsletter list, you know about both of those bills. We addressed it in our newsletter. But it's Senate Bill 732 and 733. Now, again, I admit that I'm not a medical doctor or a biological scientist, and yet you're hearing me talk against vaccinations. But I do reason, and I do think. And let me read. This is from the Senate Bill 733. It's on page 4 is the way that's listed here. I guess it's actually under section 2, letter I. Listen as I read. The National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program is an essential element in the comprehensive immunization program and should be applied to additional vaccines recommended for universal use in children. End of quote. Now, I don't know if you caught it, what it's saying here, but it's talking about the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. What that is an insurance program. You see, when you pay for the vaccine, or whoever pays for it, a certain amount of that money goes into an insurance program for the injury that children receive from vaccinations. Now, notice here that the bill itself is telling you that the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program is an essential. It doesn't say an added precaution. It doesn't say just for safety purposes. It says it is absolutely essential. Why? Because there's going to be injury. That's why it's essential. Section F says this, the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program should be extended and improved. Now, that's interesting. They not only said it's essential, but now they say it's got to even be improved. That means they got to have more money in the program because there's going to be a lot more claims made on it. Comprende? And it says, vaccine information materials should be simplified to ensure that parents can understand the benefits and risks of vaccines. Quote. Now here in the bill itself, it's telling you there are risks with the vaccine. Well, so you're not now just hearing a preacher. But there have been other people making claims about the dangers of vaccine. I've got numerous examples. This is one I've read before, but I think I'll read it again. It comes out of a newspaper article dated back in 1991 called Life Health Science Section. Just want to read a portion of it to you. It says, the screams that came from 8-week-old Leanne Manley as the doctor injected her tiny thigh still echoes in her mother's memory, an ear-splitting, high-pitched shriek that spiraled into soundless agony. It was the kind of scream like you would have when you're having a nightmare, the kind where it gets to the point where nothing comes out, Janet Manley said. It didn't seem right the way she screamed. Within hours of that cry, Lee Ann Manley was dead. Sudden infant death syndrome, said the doctors at the hospital where they tried to revive her on that summer day in 1983. But the more Manley learned, the more convinced she became that Lee Ann had died from a violent reaction to the pertussis compound of her diphtheria pertussis tetanus immunization. End of quote. That's just one little tree in a huge forest. They already told you should be advised of the risks. So I guess this message is government approved. Because I'm advising you of the risks. Actually, I had full intentions to preach on a totally different subject. But the time and the hour is such that I've got to bring this message. Now, I have an article here from a medical doctor, Dr. Harold E. Buttram. The article comes from a magazine called Health Consciousness, 1990. It's entitled Live Virus Vaccines and Genetic Mutations. I want to read just a portion of it. Quote, at the present time, there is an ominous trend in deteriorating health of children in our society. Reports from England and America indicate that allergic disorders may be doubling every 10 to 20 years. Autoimmune disorders, those conditions in which antibodies or immune cells attack the tissues of one's own body, are also rapidly increasing. Perhaps the most threatening of all for society is the rise in childhood behavior problems, hyperactivity, and learning disorders, with, according to some estimates, as many as 1 in 5 elementary school children now being labeled as some form of minimal brain damage. The counterparts of these problems may be seen at a later age as junior delinquency and perhaps as proneness to drug and alcohol addiction, depression, seizures, and even suicide. End of quote. Now, isn't that a dandy little thing? The vaccinations might actually help the drug business down the road. It's kind of creating your own business, so to speak. The impact of these trends on our society is difficult to predict. On a national level, if no action is taken now, the growing burden of mentally ill and physically handicapped may eventually become too great, both in human terms and financially, for the fit population to support and carry. In an opening book, upcoming book, The Assault on the American Child by Harris L. Coulter, scheduled for publication in the spring of 1990, the author presents extensive evidence that present childhood immunization programs may be a major contributing factor in this human wastage. End of quote. So, what am I doing? I'm simply giving you the different authorities, if you will, people that have done their homework on this, their opinions about the subject. The book called The Poison Needle, which was promoted several years ago by Pastor Emery with America's Promise, has many additional quotes, authorities, doctors, pointing out that until there were vaccinations, there was not a cancer problem in America. In fact, there are a couple charts in the book I want to read to you here. Someone will say, well, yes, Pastor Peters, but look what has happened with polio. And look what's happened with smallpox. Well, in the book called The Poison Needle, they say, look what has happened in regards to an increase in killer diseases in the past 70 years. For example, reading from the book, insanity increase, 400%. Cancer increase, 308%. Anemia increase, 300%. Epilepsy increase, 397%. Bright disease increase, 65%. Heart disease increase, 179%. Diabetes increase, 1,800%. Polio increase, 680%. That's an increase in the last 70 years. Here's a chart showing increase in disease before and after a vaccination campaign. April 3rd, 1954 versus July 10th, 1954. Chickenpox, before there were 6,600 cases, afterwards 1,300 cases. Measles, before 4,000 cases, afterwards 13,000 cases. Mumps, 2,000 cases, afterwards 5,000. I'm rounding off the figures here. Scarlet fever, 1,200 cases versus 2,200 cases. Syphilis, 800 cases versus 1,600 cases. The total of the 48 diseases recorded, there were 19,000 before and 47,000 after. But we don't hear these statistics, do we? We don't hear them at all. I think I'm also, in a preview and coming message, going to talk about what I call this farce called the AIDS epidemic. And you'll understand what I say as I get into another message. I didn't say there was no AIDS. I said the farce of the AIDS epidemic. You'd be surprised what can be done with the effect of illusions through the media. Remember back in the 50s, you were seeing in the front page little children in the iron lungs? Does anybody remember that? Well, you know, you could give the same illusion today. No, it wouldn't be an illusion. It'd be a reality of cancer victims always being in the media. But back then, they were preparing the population for polio inoculations, you see. And you're being prepared today, Americans, for AIDS inoculations. Well, that's another story. But let me read something here. This is from the New York Press, January 26, 1909, by William V. Clark. Doctor said, quote, cancer was practically unknown until cowpox vaccination began to be introduced. I have had to do with 200 cases of cancer, and I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person, end the quote. There, I could go on just reading you quote after quote in the book, The Poison Needle. But let me go to another book, a book called Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective? By Neil Z. Miller. Now, the reason I'm going to go to this book is because this man was a guest on our shortwave radio program in my absence. Brother Ray had contacted him and had him on as a guest, and Brother Steve Ray interviewed him. And so I listened to that interview prior to this message being prepared, and I decided to take different portions of the interview because he does such an excellent job having researched this subject of vaccinations, an excellent job in telling you points about vaccinations you've never heard before. Now, the first point he's going to make here that I'm going to have you hear is how the rating system works. I thought this was amazing when I heard this. This man telling us about how the government says this vaccine is 95 or 98% effective. And then he also goes on to tell exactly what it is that is in the vaccination, how it's made. Something, parents, you'd better listen to.
Regarding this theory of vaccinations and the production of antibodies, that in many cases when you read a report stating that vaccines are, that this vaccine is 95% effective, or that vaccine is 98% effective, this is not a comparison between vaccinated and unvaccinated groups of people. This is not a study where control populations are used. The 95% effectiveness figure or the 98% effectiveness figure comes from antibody production. Basically, what they do is they say, we think when a child is vaccinated, he or she should have this many antibodies showing in their blood after we give them the vaccine. And then they count how many people out of 100 have those amount of antibodies showing. And then they say, oh, well, our vaccine is therefore 95 or 98 or 99% effective. It's totally bogus, totally spurious. It's not based on control groups. Well, you would find you an idea of some of the ploys and tactics that are often used by medical personnel. When the vaccine came out during the late 1950s, they simultaneously changed the definition of polio. Okay?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They made it much more difficult to diagnose cases of polio. Prior to that time, you simply had to observe somebody, and they could get the label of polio. After that time, it took 60 days of on-again, off-again observation and laboratory confirmation that polio was taking place in order to be diagnosed as having polio. This dramatically skewed the statistics on polio. They also appear to have changed the definition by diagnosing it as a new disease after the vaccine came out. If you study a disease titled aseptic meningitis, prior to the vaccine, virtually no cases of aseptic meningitis. Okay, see, aseptic meningitis is another disease that has a very, very similar constitution to polio. You can barely tell them apart. And prior to the polio vaccine, virtually no cases of aseptic meningitis. After the vaccine came out, polio cases went down, aseptic meningitis cases went up. So this appears to be one of the ploys that was used at the time.
It's been reported by others that of late the only actual cases of polio have basically been caused by the vaccine itself, something we never stop to think about. But again, think of the illusion you can prepare for the people if all they hear is polio, polio, and they see the iron lungs in the front pages, and then suddenly after the vaccine's on the scene, you don't have it reported. If it's still there, and they just changed the name, it gives you the illusion of a cure, doesn't it? The same thing can take place in regards to always telling people about AIDS epidemic. 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 What is everyone afraid of as far as a major disease? AIDS epidemic. There's a reason for that, and I'll cover that in another message. I've got so much documentation on this subject of vaccinations, and so many books. This is a good book, Murder by Injection, The Story of the Medical Conspiracy Against America by Eustace Mullins. And we carry this, but in Chapter 4, he has a whole chapter dedicated to nothing but vaccinations. This is something that was of interest to me. In 1909, the Senate of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts introduced a bill, number 8, an act to prohibit compulsory vaccination. Section 1, it said it shall be unlawful for any board of education, board of health, or any public board acting in this state under political regulations or otherwise to compel by resolution, order, or proceedings of any kind the vaccination of any child or person of any age by making vaccination a condition precedent to attending any public or private school either as pupil or teacher. End of quote. Well, this gives an indication that the mindset back then was, you are not, federal government, going to force upon us compulsory inoculation. My, how things have changed, haven't they? Well, what if your child comes to school and is not inoculated? It's going to endanger our children. Think, Christians, it doesn't hurt. If these people have their children inoculated, and that's supposed to protect them from getting the disease, then how are they going to get the disease from your kid if the inoculations work? Think. They know it doesn't work. It's a ritual a witchcraft veil sacrifice ritual that they want all children to pass through the flames of Moloch, so to speak, you see. Now, in the next tape, same speaker, he's going to talk some about the damages that can come to children. Here is an alert to action. It's the National Center for Home Education. They sent out talking about vaccination mandate threatens family. I want to read a portion of it. It says, quote, the National Vaccine Information Center recently announced that 17,221 adverse reactions to vaccines were reported to the Food and Drug Administration during a 20-month period that ended July 1992. Also, as of September 1992, the Federal Vaccine Injury Compensation Program had paid over $249 million to the families of those seriously injured or killed by vaccines and was backlogged with nearly 4,000 unresolved cases, end of quote. Listen to what this man has to say about the damages that can come to children.
I have case histories. I document case histories in the book, several case histories, and I get calls every week. Ever since getting involved in this story, I get calls every week from parents who have children that have been damaged, many seriously brain damaged, and many of the children have died. The federal government in 1986 established a compensation fund. Many parents do not realize that when they go and get vaccines, when they go and have their children vaccinated at the pediatrician, a portion of the money